morning, good afternoon, girl. This is Brunch Boxing. I am your host, Matt. And all I have to say is, wow, what a fucking fight we just witnessed. We just witnessed fucking boxing at its finest. Nayua, the monster in you, versus including me, gave Cardenas any chance to even do anything to NUA, but he came to fight. He came to win. He showed out. He gave NUA the fight in his life. He hurt NUA multiple times, not just the time he knocked him down. He hurt him multiple times, staggered him, hurt him to the body. Like, I counted about 3-4 times that NUA was hurt, but NUA was able to come back and knock Cardenas down and eventually get the stoppage. I will fully admit, I did not love the stoppage.
I thought it was a bad stoppage.
I thought it was a bad stoppage. I thought Cardenas could have continued. You know, like, I was ready to tweet out that we have our fight of the year, you know, but then that stoppage came, and I kind of feel like the referee robbed us a little bit of a classic. Because this fight was already a classic, and I thought that this fight was going to go to levels where we haven't seen since, and this might sound blasphemous, so please don't kill me, because I know you're here, Cliff. We haven't seen these levels since Castillo Corrales. That's where I feel like we were heading. I felt like we were heading there. I was ready. I was ready to christen this fight as the greatest fight I've seen since then. But we got the stoppage. Anyway, he comes away with the victory. Great fight. I would love to see it again. Ezra, I'm going to start with you. How did you feel about what you saw tonight?
That was fantastic. That was great. And you know, the thing is like, when you saw early Cardenas' speed, you're like, wait, what the hell? What's going on here? Like, this guy's pretty damn fast. Like, he's looking like he belongs in there. You know what I mean? Nothing looked like as was... My bad, I got a phone call. As soon as the fight started, you felt like he belonged in there. And you're right, he did hurt in a way a few times. It wasn't just the knockdown. And through the fight, I thought Cardenas' power was showing up more than Inoue's power did. I actually kind of felt like, I was like, oh, is Inoue's power not going to have an effect on this fight? Like, is he just going to have to win this on points? Like, just outworking him? But yeah, Cardenas was damn good. That was an excellent fight. I still think that that's a strong contender for fight of the year. I really do. I still think that's a strong, strong contender for fight of the year.
That's just the best fight I've seen all year.
Yeah, just everything. Anyways, getting knocked down was stunning because he was rocked. Like, it wasn't just he got dropped. He was rocked. Like, he had to wait for that count. Like, that, he was viciously, viciously hurt.
Yeah, that.
My bad. I guess he's like, go ahead, Roke.
No, that second round knockdown was legit. Like, the Neri knockdown was a balanced knockdown. He got caught with his feet crossed. That's the worst I've seen him hurt since the Donaire fight. But I mean, look, when you got a guy that you already know that he will fight you with his eye literally broken and his ribs broken and still keep coming. I mean, Inoue's gear that he goes into when he's been hurt in his career, there's only a handful of great, great fighters that behave the way he does when he's hurt. And that's what makes that's one of those gaps between great ones and not great. And you don't expect it to be somebody like Cardenas to be the one that brings it. But you fight long enough, you're going to find one night, and it might not be who you think it is. And
we know it is. It's Junto. Junto wins now, and you guys know why. That Junto hit him with that left, he ain't getting up.
Mike, come on, Mike.
This is twice in a row he's gotten knocked down. Like, don't give him the pass.
Well, I want to say this then.
Mike, give him the pass. He's dominated 4 weight classes for 11 years. You're not allowed to have get caught ever.
No. But here's the thing, though, that we do here. When we watch these guys come up, and then we say, oh, he got hit here in this one fight, right? And we'll say, oh, he's going to get knocked out. And we'll say, oh, well, as the guy's coming up, oh, he's too hittable. Listen, it takes durability. Like, the top guys, honestly, are durable. It takes durability because you're going to get caught and you're going to get hurt. And anyway, showed durability. He showed mental strength too, because every time he gets caught, he's outgunned the guy that's put him down. He's outgunned him. I don't like that. Like, oh, you got caught. So listen, like I said, when the Boots fight was Boots fight, said, people said, people got on here and said, oh, Boots get hit too much.
Hey, Junto might beat him. I mean, he might.
Yeah, he might. He might
see it.
Yeah, it was a good fight. But I'm just saying right now, Inoue deserves his credit. He got hit, but he got hit by, to me, a guy that was fighting at a high level tonight. I don't know if that guy fights at a high level every fight, but tonight he was fighting at a high, high level. He knew what he was in there with, and he raised his game to fight at that level, and Inoue was still too much for him. That was, to me, I thought Inoue had took control of the rounds, but it was competitive throughout. Throughout in that fight, I never thought that guy was out of it until it was about the end when he was like, he started breaking them with the straights. And Inoue adjusted. Like, the Inoue adjustment of going to the straight shots and then seeing the left hook coming and all that was great stuff.
I was okay with the stoppage too.
Inoue did adjust. Inoue did adjust, but Cardenas adjusted also. Mm-hmm. Cardenas stopped headhunting and started digging to the body and hurt anyway. Stopped them dead in his tracks to the body. I was like, ooh, this dude is hitting. Like this was some fight, man. Like, oh, that. You know, that stoppage is really, it's sticking in my crawl right now, man. That stoppage is really.
Why? The corner said it was going to stop it already, Matt.
No, see, Michael, I disagree. I think the corner
said he was slowing down already. Like, hey.
I understand what they're saying, Michael, but I think that was a tactical thing by his trainer. His trainer knew he was losing the fight. And he was trying to get him back into the fight and get him more active in the next round. And you saw that work because he was more active in that round. He was more engaged.
Don't tell me you guys didn't see the ending coming up. The writing was
on. Oh, I did too. I saw it in like
the next round. You guys just wanted to see some blood.
I think in round 9 or 10 it was going to be over, but that's, you still got to have the fight. Because the other thing is, one thing that Cardenas did really – he had good jabs at the beginning. He had really good timing. The distance was good. He had good timing on some of those shots. And if his distance was a little bit better in some of those shots, he would have clipped Inoue hard a couple times.
I do think one thing that jumps out of this fight, the Kim fight, and even the Doheny fight, I think we're seeing a significant decline in the speed and reflexes of Inoue over the last 3 or 4 fights. And it's going to take a lot for him to keep winning at this level, because his game is largely predicated on his he's got technical ability, but his reflexes are what makes him so lethal. And that is not the same speed he was functioning at even a year and a half ago. I mean, maybe it's just a sluggish night, but that's to be expected at 32 years old.
Does he have to we always said that he was like the Money Mayweather phase, right? Does he have to shift to the Money Mayweather phase? Does he have to become a more defensive fighter?
No.
To stay on top? Like, at 126, do you need to fight like this?
No. Ezra, what he needs to do is move up.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
I think Matt might be right. I mean, making 122 might be sapping him. He might get something back. It's not going to stay forever because, again, at 32, he's going to start to decline. I mean, you look at the history of Japanese fighters, and Japanese fighters do not carry on very often past their you know, early mid-30s is old in Japan. But I do think going to 126 might save him a little longer. If he fights Junto at 126 instead of 122, he's got a much better chance to win the fight.
I look at it this way. So at 126, you know, those guys are just a tad bit slower than at 122, you know? So I think his whatever decline that Rold might be seeing in his reflexes is not going to show up as much when you're fighting someone that's like a millisecond slower, you know? So I think 126 might be the move for him. You know, supposedly he agreed to fight MJ in September. To open up the new the new arena in Nagoya, Japan. So we'll see if he follows through on that. But I'm telling you, if I was Inoue's people, I would move up to 126 right now. I really would. You had Espinosa on the undercard. That's the fight to make. Inoue versus Espinosa. We need that next.
Go ahead, Vivi.
I firmly believe that, I mean, I can't say there's no better time, because there was a much better time 5 years ago, but now is the time to pull the trigger on the John Real Casimiro fight at 126 pounds. He needs to bury that hatchet, and now is the time. Let me tell you something right now. If that was Casimiro in the ring tonight, let me tell you something right now. He'd be doing push-ups over his fucking body with Silver Voice TV flying the Filipino flag behind him, okay? So now is the time to get that out of the way, get that behind you, because it's a fight that, in a way, needs for his career.
No one gives a flying dog shit about that fight.
I agree, Rogue.
I will tell you, the only people that don't want to see that fight are the people that are protected in a way from Casimiro.
I know you're messing with us, but Matt set it up perfectly in terms of talking about Espinoza, because that should have been the next point of conversation. An amazing opponent.
Espinoza might kick his ass back.
Hold on. Real quick, let's pause for housekeeping. If you could hear my voice, I need you guys to retweet the space. Everybody that's in here, go retweet the space. Let's get the conversation going. Because listen, tonight saved the boxing weekend. Let's be honest. This was what we were hoping for when it came to boxing this weekend. And tonight made it all worth it. You know, that was some legendary stuff we saw tonight. So make sure you guys retweet the space real quick. Listen, we're not continuing the conversation until you retweet the space. You know, I gotta start acting like who's the guy from
Who knows?
Blue Blood TV is like 500 likes.
Yeah. 500 likes and then we'll keep talking. Also, y'all hit the cash app. Make sure y'all hit the cash app. $ is that your face. Make sure y'all go hit the cash app.
No gimmicks needed tonight, Matt. No gimmicks needed tonight.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, they didn't have to fight in front of a wall. They didn't need to fake Snoop Dogg. They didn't need Elmo. They didn't need Deadpool. You know, they didn't need Keyshawn dancing. They didn't need none of that tonight. All they needed was their fucking fist, and they were throwing them goddamn hands. Like right from the outset, they were throwing them hands, man. God, this was a great, great fight. Great fight.
I'm kind of upset. I have to move up Usyk in my P4P now after this performance.
And I will say, before this night is over, I will be dropping the new pound for pound. The new pound for pound is ready.
I will say this, Matt. I wasn't with you on the Corrales Castillo comparison, although I see where you're going with that, because the difference in this fight and Corrales Castillo is Inoue kind of took over the fight and started winning all the rounds around round four. And he didn't really lose a round again. Corrales and Castillo legit traded rounds back and forth and continued to escalate against each other. Cardenas, you could see him starting to decline in the fight. But this is a fight that you can put up there with stuff like Whitaker and Hurtado, like fights like that where you see an aging champion who digs in and finds it against the young guy. Archie Moore and Harold Johnson in the later stages of Archie Moore's career. Even Archie Moore, Yvonne Durrell, like there's something like there's a lot of great ones. I mean, you think about it. Archie Moore almost lost to Yvonne Durrell, and that is historically crazy. But you stick around long enough, you're going to find one of these guys. And if you can find a way to win on these nights and not be the guy that gets upset, that's special stuff.
Now, Ro, talk to me about the stoppage. Like, why did the referee stop the fight there? And did you agree with the
stoppage? I thought they could have let that fight go about another 20 or 30 seconds, but you got to factor in what the referee saw at the end of the previous round, the way that he reacted to that one body shot that caught him right on the side. And again, this was another night that was a reminder for single shot power to the body. Inoue is unlike anyone I've seen since Roy Jones. His single shots to the body are ridiculous. But I think in Taylor's mind, he's seeing the fight in terms of the accumulation of punishment over several rounds. And Cardenas had not thrown a punch. Like earlier, he was at least throwing that lunging left to try to keep him honest. He wasn't throwing anything. But you can even watch the replay right here. There wasn't a lot landing. And so, you know, he made that judgment call. But I don't think this wasn't an egregious stoppage, but I do think they could have let this go another 30 seconds and see what happened. Because I think the kid earned that with the performance he put on tonight.
I definitely thought it could have went a little bit longer. I would have liked to see, you know, what would Cardenas do once the round ends and he comes back out. Because to me, he was ready to go out on the shield. He was ready to fight back. You know, like, as good as Inoue was giving it to him, Cardenas was giving it right back, you know? So I don't know, man. It's just something don't sit right with me about the stoppage. I do understand why they stopped it. I'm happy Inoue got the win. I thought it was a really great, gutsy performance by Inoue. But I'm like, damn, I just wish he would have went a little bit longer. I felt like it wasn't definitive. Like, I'll be honest with you. I know everyone's going to hate to hear this. I kind of want to see a rematch.
I mean, I'd be okay with that. I was thinking that, but I wouldn't mind. Like, I'm definitely just going to pay attention to Cardenas going forward. Like, put him in a good spot against a guy at that weight class, and then maybe he could build up to that fight again. But if they did it again, I would understand why. But I think, in a way, you know, there's other names and other things that we really kind of want to see right now.
Yeah, there's too many opponents for there, but Cardenas needs to be on TV consistently. Yeah, like, he needs a couple more runs on TV with what he showed us.
Yeah, he earned every bit of that. And really, I agree with you, Matt. He earned every bit of being allowed to continue. He earned, because he was hurt that bad before, and he punched his way out of it. So yeah, he deserved one more opportunity to do that, and like possibly one or two rounds ago,
prior to the stoppage. I think he was hurt worse than the actual stoppage.
I'd say hey, listen. If freaking Samson Lukowicz answers his emails, and I'll request for him to have him on card, and I'll be featured in a couple more fights. All right, but yeah, he definitely did, you know, a good job there in this particular fight. I like how he was setting the traps there in the second and the third round. You know, after scoring that knockdown, I wasn't kind of agreeing with his corner, Joel Diaz, talking about him being the aggressor, because once Cardenas started to do that, he started to, like, overexert his shots. And when he threw, like, a right hook, and like, it was a lunging right hook. Yep, he was reaching, and then he got caught with a counter. And once that happened, that kind of turned the tide for sure there in a way's favor. And I also like, in a way, like, after what happened in the second and third round, he composed himself, went back to the jab, and was consistent with the jab, because that's what, you know, he was having a lot of success with early, and then went back to it in order to develop more of his offense.
Yeah, I was going to say, his best stuff was really doing kind of like a rope-a-dope, you know, catch and counter, you know, like, okay, like, you're landing on me, but you're also hitting enough of my glove to where I'm going to freaking time it to where I'm looping my shot around you. And I'm putting everything into it. Because I know you're still going to be there.
Yeah.
That's where his best work was coming from.
That's where his best work was. And when he was saying in the corner to Joel Diaz, like, hey, I'm able to take a number of his shots here early. So if you're doing that, then just go ahead and try to see what he does. See if he gets comfortable throwing like 1-2s, 1-2-3s, and then catch him with a counter instead of, like, you know, trying to go forward and overstep, you know, what you need to do and have, in a way, have the ability to counter you. It was like he was saying, Cardenas was saying after the fight, he was like, it wasn't really the power, it was more the volume. So if he was going to try to, you know, do that, he would try to, I would say, try to see about blocking and then catching them instead of, you know, trying to go forward or be stationary. Well, not stationary. I actually want him to do that too. But yeah, to try to go forward or move forward, like his coach was saying, I was like, nah, that's not going to do it.
The only issue was Inoue started just throwing more straight shots to not try to create left hooks with the guy. So he started throwing straight shots. Cardenas got at times kind of just stuck there, getting caught between his guard a little bit. So yeah, I think Nah, it's just like
Jab getting right through the guard a lot, though.
That's he really needed Inoue to be getting too much forward momentum for his own good in order to really like land those shots. The issue is that when he was at ring center, Inoue would be able to just do enough of that step back to where Cardenas would miss. And then when he was going forward, Inoue was just quicker on his feet to be able to make him miss altogether.
Yeah, because sometimes Inoue would, you know, either be out of range or just step a little bit backward to be out of range.
Yeah, like he the only way that would have worked is if he would have been able to pin Inoue up on the ropes, like behind that high guard, and kind of like go do almost kind of like what Roach did in Tank, and like really pin
him. Let me ask you guys a question. I'll start with you, Ezra. Overall, was this a good night for Inoue?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because I think it definitely, if you weren't aware of him before, you, as far as like fandom, everybody, you should be in love with this guy. Like this the way he fought, the way the crowd, everything. After all we saw this past weekend and you saw this, you'd be like, this is fantastic. This is amazing. This is boxing at like truly its highest level.
This was good stuff. Like for me, I feel the same way that I felt after the Tyson Paul card, where you had some of those like great fights on that card. I'm like, listen, as long as there were eyeballs on this and they got to see what we saw tonight, they're gonna come back for more. They're gonna come away like this was a great advertisement for boxing
tonight. The whole card was good too. The whole card was good too. Like, and the main event was just the cherry on top. It was just the perfect way to end it.
Bro, so you're saying
arena on a Sunday night.
So you're saying that a good number of people pretty much like were like the dude on the computer, like I keep mentioning.
this was a great night for boxing. Now let's spin it forward, Ezra. Let's tomorrow today it. What are the people saying, Ezra? What's next for Cardenas? And what's next for Inoue?
I think people are going to think that Inoue is, and maybe he is, but he's more beatable now. I think people I look at the timeline, I see a lot of Junto stuff. I hear Mike, I hear a lot of Junto stuff. I think that's good for boxing. I think people wanting to see these fights now and thinking that Inoue is more beatable, or if maybe he is, but the thing is, those fights are competitive. I think there's more excitement now going forward his career. Like, I'm telling you, it's more excitement for his career. Cardenas, just get him in there with a guy tough at 122. I think I want to see if he could fight consistently at that level. Did he raise his game just because he was in with Inoue? Or is he consistently going to fight at that level? Because that was a damn good guy in that ring today. Like, you could see by the skill. I don't care if you say, oh, well, he was such a big underdog. Hey, you saw what he did in the ring. He's a good fighter. He has the ability. I don't know if he could do that consistently, that performance, but that was a good. I want to see more of him.
Not only that,
I think Cardenas gained a lot of fans tonight, especially in Japan. You know how Japanese fans like to adopt the opponents of their fighters. I think Cardenas, like, I need to see him in Japan next. If Samson is smart, send his ass to Japan. Send him to Japan. Hey. Let him fight Takuma. Let Takuma move up to 122. So I'm telling you, that's what
not yet. Not yet.
You might put Takuma in a bag.
You gotta build on this.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's funny? Hey, listen, just last week we wouldn't have been saying that. You know, so it just goes to show how much one performance can change people's perspective.
But, put them in there with these former champions or whatever it is, or contenders. Sam Goodman, Marlon Tapalis.
Since he's been on Pro Box, like that did it for him too. You know what I mean? Since he started
another Pro Box fighter or alum, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, once he got that opportunity, it just led to another one, just led to another one, which led to this, and now whatever comes from this.
How old is Cardenas?
29.
Okay.
Hey, here's something crazy.
He got to get right back to it once he's healthy.
Hey, here's something crazy to think about. They showed a graphic earlier of consecutive knockouts and title fights, and Inoue is three away from tying the record. If he sticks to the plan that everybody thinks is going to happen with MJ Ball and Junto, he could, if he beat Junto, however the fuck to say it, he could tie the record with Mikko Jeske against Nakatani in the biggest fight in history in Japan. That's pretty wild.
You can call him Juan.
Man, listen.
I will say this.
Juan?
I've been saying this. I think it's a terrible idea going up and fighting Ball and then coming back down to fight Junto. I do think that's.
I don't think he's going to do that. I think at the worst you'd get a catch weight around 124. Why give up your featherweight belt to go back down and fight a bantamweight? Just have him come up. It's only 2 more pounds.
It's
not like Nakatani isn't cutting a shit ton to make 118 in his damn self.
No, yeah.
Is Juan adopting Junto by saying that he should be named Juan?
He is known as Juan Nakatani, but yeah.
Is this your Mexican? This is like your Triple G Mexican style, Mike? Is this what you're turning Junto Nakatani into?
No, he's just Mexican. You know, if you would know about him, Mestra, you wouldn't understand.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's with the culture.
Now, Ezra, we think we know that MJ is next to NUA. If you're NUA and his team, do you follow through with that game plan or do you pivot to something?
No, you go with that fight. That's a perfect fight. Because I'm telling you, there's a fan base in there that thinks MJ is going to give NUA some work or they think that he's going to give him some trouble. I think that's a perfect fight. I think after this fight, people might think, like I said, people might think NUA is a little bit on the downside and they might think this is perfect matchmaking. I think there's some excitement for that fight. I think there's going to be attention for that fight. There's going to be some debates for that fight.
Real quick, I wanted to add my guy, Saturday Night Boxing, my guy, Double A, Adam. What's going on, Adam?
Well, Matt, you know what? All I could say is this. Like, you guys have, you know, crystallized so much of the X's and O's tonight. It's just I can't get over the difference between what we saw tonight and what we saw on Friday and Saturday. It's just amazing to me how many people just laid eggs this weekend. And, you know, like, this was, like, real fucking fighting tonight. This was fantastic. Loved it. Loved every second of it. Great fight. You know, getting out of my seat, getting crazy. I was actually in Vegas this week and for work, and people asked me, why didn't you just stay for, you know, until Sunday? I didn't want to be away for 8 days. But the people in that arena, you know, they saw a special night tonight. It was what the sport's about. And it also just shows the choices that boxers make when they get in the ring. You know, they have the ability to electrify. They have the ability to fight to the best of their abilities. I think you saw a clear difference tonight between people who were hungry and fucking going for it and people who were not. So that's all I just wanted to bring up.
I want to say this too. I think what you saw tonight for this event is people who understand how boxing works, understand how to throw a boxing event. And for what I saw from Friday and Saturday were people that don't and people that think that people are looking for certain things that they're not. Today was no nonsense. It was a regular boxing show and it delivered because the fighters delivered. All that you need is the fighters to deliver. You need the fighters to tell the thing. It's not anything else. It's no other nonsense. It's just what happens in the ring. Tonight, what was what happened in the ring? That's really all.
Hey, Adam.
You're telling me that it's not a band playing the final countdown?
Adam, they didn't lay eggs in the mother 2 days. They laid something else, but...
Yes.
It was some brutal shit, you know? And honestly, you know, if this was... This had a chance of being a wipeout tonight, and I'm really happy it wasn't. And... loved it. I mean, it was one of those, I kept waiting for, you know, one of these fights to catch fire, and it was this. Loved it, you know, just really special stuff tonight.
I mean,
anybody that knows me knows that I'm a big wrestling fan, and I always like to send the people home happy, and tonight they sent the people home happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I feel good. What, about
I mean, it, it's you know? The, to I, me, it's one thing to send them home happy, but you also had like a oh shit moment there with that knockdown because of like those odds of 65-1 going into the fight.
Knockdown so, and some of the
other and some of the other stuff. Yeah. So and what was it? Round six, I think it was round six when they had the little going back and forth. Yeah, and that was another great round too. So
that was
a joint, man. Honestly,
it might be round of the year.
It could be a good candidate for round of the year there. So
and even the fighters themselves knew that was an amazing round.
Yeah,
with the way at the end of the round.
Oh yeah, they dapped it up, didn't they?
Fight.
Yeah,
they knew it was an amazing fight. The two of them, because it's like in a way, it's like oh shit. Like you really on my level, like you know. I didn't think you were anything, but you here to really push me, you know. And that's exactly what he did.
Now let's run the zoo like Daryl McGrew. Let's book the territory. If you are Samson Lukovic and you have Ramon Cardenas, what do you do, Ezra?
I just think any guy, top guy, 122, just keep him in there. If we could get him in a fight on a main card and keep him in front of people's eyeballs, I want to see it, because I think that this dude, like I said, if he could fight at that level, he's going to be a problem at this weight. And if anyway leaves his weight, then this dude might be able to do some things there.
Yeah, I think you can get him in line for a title very quickly and very soon, because I doubt anybody's long for 122. But go ahead.
I think what you do is put him against Picasso.
Yes, Picasso, or one of the other fighters I mentioned.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. I mean, I feel like your idea of sending him to Japan is a really good one, though, too. I really do.
Yeah, I think like you were saying, the number of the fans.
There's gotta be a Kamita brother or cousin that's wanting to get.
Oh my god!
Tomoki's at 126, so that probably wouldn't work out.
Well, you could do Shimamachi.
Yeah, but he just got blasted by Neri. I'm not sure if he's wanting to do that again.
I have the opponent for him, because this guy fights in Japan. He's a world-ranked, highly rated contender. Get him in there with Wonder Boy Carl James Martin. Let's get a big fight going.
Yeah, I would say like Carl Martin he's another one.
I think Carl Martin is fighting in the United States in July. I'm not too sure about that.
Let's not July 26th.
Promoter.
Oh wait, damn.
His promoter is.
You know what? Here's a good one. Good decent name. Jerwin Unkas.
I think Nair. I think Nair would be a great name. That fight.
I love it. That fight was.
Yeah. Solid. Well, I mean, that's if you really trying to just throw him into the deep end and see if he swims. You know what I mean?
But are you guys fucking cutting?
That's the Nair one.
But honestly, I don't think that's a bad idea, because I fucking remember vividly, like, 3 years ago, Cardenas fighting on a PBC YouTube portion and getting a gift against Michelle Bonquez, and now he's turning up against arguably the best fighter in the world and fucking dropping him and looking $1 million. So I think just keep putting him in there against marquee opponents.
Wait, if you guys are booking Cardenas, I think he'd be a good fight for Junto when he does move up to 122.
I mean, it would be a great measuring stick. You can compare the two fights.
No.
Wait, Gary, Matt.
You're breaking up.
You can do whatever you want.
I said, as soon as Junto moves up, we need the Inoue fight. We don't want no tune-ups. We don't want no feeling out fights. We need that fight right away, because we don't know how much longer Inoue is going to be at 122.
Here we go.
Dude, if Junto wanted tune-up fights, he could be taking them right now. If he wanted tune-up fights, do it right now.
He's fighting Nishida.
His unification fight is a fucking tune-up fight. He's going to kill that guy.
He's going to move up.
I mean, to be fair, any of them would be.
That
division is not
versus. You can make Dr. Tani versus Cardina later this year.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, by the end of the year. Why not have it at the end of the year? Like, January 1st, December joint, but.
Both Nishida and Junto are drained to shit at 118. Once Junto sends him to the moon, they're both moving up. Junto can fight Cardenas end of the year, and then Inoue and Junto fight what? April next year? Simple. That's how you book Cardenas.
Although they're trying to push for Inoue and Junto to fight in February of next year or some shit. I don't know.
All right, I mean, maybe
make him in let's pivot to the other guy who owned the night. The divine one, the real thin man, the slender man.
Oh, you ain't gonna call him Slim Espinosa.
Rafael Espinosa with a surprising beatdown of Edward Kidd Vasquez. Ezra, what did you think of that performance from Espinosa?
He gets better and better every time. Every time he's out there, he gets better. His feet are getting better. His offense is amazing. Like I was saying, I think he's a top 10 offense in boxing right now. That dude is bad. He hits hard. I don't know how long he is for that weight, but he has a lot of matchups too that are really interesting, including Inoue, including Navarrete. I think they're big things for him. I think he has star qualities. Honestly, every time he fights, the whole crowd's into it. The same thing last performance where I thought he stole the show, the Navarrete card. This dude is something to watch, I just think he's getting better. He's getting used to his reach. He's going to get hit. Yeah, he has some defensive flaws. But like I said, I think sometimes the durability. It's like, you know, these guys are going to have to be durable at the top. So he's going to get hit, sure, but you got to go through his offense as well. So
if he can beat Kamita in Japan, I'd love to see a unification fight with Angelo Leo.
That was exactly what I was going to
say. That becomes a big fight. You know, that fight sells somewhere in the southwest of America. That's a great style matchup too. Those guys are going to bring it.
That fight's in like 3 to 4 weeks, which is part, or 3 weeks. And, you know, if Leo wins, you can do it here. If Kamado wins, you can go to Japan. People in Japan will want to watch Espinoza.
And after the mandatory defense, Top Rank still has options on Angelo Leo, too. And Rafa's their guy. So realistically, that's always made the most sense.
The issue is they've been sitting on that mandatory for too long because fucking Kamada's promoter has been trying to schedule a goddamn concert alongside the fight. So Joette Gonzalez is just going to get ordered right after that.
Oh, jeez.
Please.
Man, I want to see.
Hold on. George's favorite fighter is back at it again.
Wait, Joette Gonzalez, what?
That's the worst mandatory I could ever think of.
I don't think Top Rank has options. I don't think Top Rank has options on Leo. I think they actually signed him a co-promotional deal, by the way.
He's
in the fold.
Who does Joette Gonzalez have blackmail on to keep getting shot up?
He fought an IBF eliminator on Pro Box and beat Arnold Kagai. Y'all boy.
Oh.
Wait, he beat Fold's best win?
And let me tell you,
Matt
says it's
not going
to go how y'all think it's
going to
go. Joette versus Leo, same way.
I got to
be honest.
Listen, shout out to Vasquez, but he just couldn't defend against an uppercut to save his life. Just being honest, Espinoza did very well there offensively, as they were saying, like one of the more exciting offensive fighters out there within those weight classes. I'm still waiting for him against Navarrete. That's the fight that I was looking for earlier this year. So if he wants to go ahead and wait for unification, cool. But I'm waiting for Espinoza versus Navarrete.
Like, I love the unification. Navarrete would be cool. Neri would be a good fight, too. Like, he's got plenty of good options.
Yeah, definitely. Kid Vasquez, are we surprised at the game plan going into that fight? Because I was expecting him to box and move more, and it seems like he was in there trying to trade with him, trying to fight with him.
Telling me is that he was ready to try to get into the inside with Espinoza, as Espinoza is more of like an inside fighter. He didn't feel like he was like fighting at range a lot. So he was more getting prepared towards that instead of, you know, trying to, you know, slip and move a little bit and fighting in range. So he had like a high guard going in there early, but once he got to the inside, he tried to, you know, land some big shots, big hooks, but those punches just really didn't affect Espinoza like that. So you did see some shots being landed on Espinoza, but not anything to really like turn the tide to Vasquez's favor, you know, so.
Do you guys think that Espinoza needs to move up, or how can he stay at 156? Because before the fight, he was talking a lot about moving up. So how much longer is Rafael Espinoza at
one or two fights, depending on how fast he gets back in the ring?
He looked great tonight. So
yeah, I mean, we don't know 100% how he is with the weight cut, but that's another reason to get in the way up to 126 faster, because that's such a great fight.
He does gain a lot between, you know what I mean, the weigh-in and the fight. I know I don't know what it was for tonight because they didn't say, but for the Rabasi fight, they said he gained all the way up to like 145 on the night of. So, I mean, he's definitely not a small guy
at all.
So it's when you're cutting that much weight, any given cut could be one too many.
Yeah.
Any given cut could be
one too many. Yeah, if you rehydrate the 145, like, goddamn.
He's also like a Fundora guy where it's like they see his size and they think they're going to go inside and, you know, they see he's a lanky body, but they don't realize that Espinoza actually likes to fight on the inside. He's actually better on the inside. So,
well, and Vasquez is a good inside fighter, too. So I think he was thinking that was going to play to his own strengths.
So he is, but it's going to take opponents to understand, like, it's going to take them a little bit to realize, okay, I'm probably not going to beat this guy on the inside. I'm probably going to have to do something different. And I think Espinoza's hittable, and you know, he got dropped against Ramirez, who's not a huge puncher either. He's a really good
fighter. I think he's better since then, though.
Yeah, too. I do. I think he's a great fighter. I think he is a great fighter, but I just don't think you're gonna be able to like march in on the inside on him. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think you would have to be a pretty big and heavy-handed guy yourself to be able to at least try that.
Yep.
But, well, another reason you can't just walk in is I think he's one of the better fighters I've seen in a minute. Hey, using the uppercut.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He uses it actively.
Yeah. It's like we were talking about Fundora.
Yeah. A little bit of Fundora. I was gonna say, like, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Riddick Bowe, the way that he just, like, he really has natural leverage on it because he'll have his arm down and then he'll literally just pull it up.
He'll do it with his lead hand or his backhand and do it comfortably and in rhythm.
Whoever made the point that, I forget. I don't know if it's you, Ezra. Was talking about how Espinoza is starting to like tighten up his footwork a little bit and get a little bit more polished to his game. That's 100% true. I think that's a really good observation. Yeah. You know,
you got Barrera in his camp now too. Apparently,
like he wasn't swinging, they were saying that he wasn't swinging as wildly as he has. Like he was very under control tonight, even in a firefight. Yeah. Like he was. You know,
very comfortable.
You know, he's not like the second coming of Navarrete. I think he actually may have a higher ceiling.
No, he definitely controls distance a lot better. He boxes on the outside better than Navarrete. He sets up behind the jab better. Better footwork in terms of defensive footwork. You know, I think you could really see the Barrera influence all over his combinations that he was throwing too. The way that he sets all that stuff up. And I think, you know, like, call me crazy, but I do think that, like, say if he was to fight a Navarrete, even though I think Navarrete's unorthodoxy could give him some trouble because of the fact that he's more of a textbook timing guy, I do think that his offense is proactive enough. And with Barrera in his corner, given that Barrera was able to kind of defuse the bomb that was Prince Nassim, who Navarrete favors quite a bit in terms of style, I think he could draw up a game plan to beat him if the two of them ever fight.
Let's get to the best of the rest of the card, the prelims. Ezra, what performances stood out to you on the prelims tonight?
I like Rohan. I thought Rohan looked good. I think Maidana's a tough guy, man. Like, I think he's really tough. I thought Rohan controlled the fight pretty damn well. He kept offensive. He gets touched at times. Yeah, like I said, a lot of these guys, to be a top fighter, you're going to have to show durability. I'm really starting to pay attention to that now. Like, I can't just say, oh, he gets hit, you know, he's going to get caught. It's like, oh, we'll see how durable he is going forward. But I did like his offense. I liked his jab. I liked Vargas. I know that some people aren't too high on Vargas, but I thought that was a pretty damn good Vargas performance. I enjoyed that. So those are two that for me that I was like, I really liked
them. There was a six rounder early in the card with Art Barrera against the guy named Guerra. Mm-hmm. That was a really good fight, by the way. You know, you'll see the box rec and it shows a stoppage. It was a ref stoppage in the sixth round. This guy Guerra who beat Nico Walsh really had a good game plan and challenged Barrera much harder than he's ever been challenged. And Barrera had to like think himself through the fight, and he got much better as the fight went on. I'm not sure exactly stylistically like what Barrera is, other than he's talented, like he could do a lot of things. But this was like, I think, his first real test as a pro. Very, very good six rounder.
How are we feeling about Nakano?
I like Polanco, you know, what he was doing over the course of his fight there with Maidana. Kind of like mixed things up as far as like his stance. Kind of like seeing that, not necessarily like a shoulder roll type thing there, but you can see his approach to, you know, try to throw.
He cut up?
I don't know if he cut out.
Yeah.
Was there any disappointment from y'all with with Rohan Polanco not being able to secure the stop.
I know disappointment. Because here's the thing with Polanco. This motherfucker has been all gas, no brakes his entire fucking career. Just front foot offense, showing no defense. I'm not fooling him. I'm going to be honest. It is the same issues every single fucking fight. And Maidana, for the first half at least, was really exposing those issues and putting them on blast. I have to see some more. He still needs some development. He's 26 years old.
I'd have no problem putting Polanco in with Mario Barrios right now. I'd have no problem.
I would. I think Barrios would beat him. I think you should put him in with like Santillan or like Romano.
Did you see Barrios versus Maidana? Did you see that fight? That was a tougher time than what we saw tonight.
I don't think it was.
And I'd roll the dice, honestly. Maybe that's a toss-up 50-50 fight, but I just saw Barrios getting dropped by Abel Ramos. He's a good fighter, no doubt, but I've never seen Barrios put 12 good rounds together in a fight.
He did against Ugas.
I mean, he looked fine, you know, against that version of Ugas. But you know, I've really questioned him. I'd throw him in against Brian Norman too. I'm not saying he necessarily wins all those fights, but there's nothing at 147 that really scares me. I mean, Norman is definitely a power puncher, no doubt, but you know, he's a flawed guy. He's fine. I like Polanco enough to roll a dice. You know, it's like, he's developed. He's a good fighter. He's not a perfect fighter. He probably still has some additional ceiling. I don't see anything that that really scares me. At 147 besides Boots. The thing about Nakano, Matt, real fast that you brought up, he's already 29. So he's going to have to move really fast, but I think he can. So the other thing that's kind of weird is that, and that's, there's a reason why this was he was on this card. You know, all the top guys pretty much at 126 are in America right now. And so he's going to have to come here. It's not like a lower weight classes where Japan kind of runs the show. He's going to have to find his way. If he's going to move fast, the opponents are here. The top guys are all here. So he's going to have to come back and make his name pretty fast.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're gonna go to Ari real quick. And then I want to bring it back to Ezra to put a button on tonight's show. Go ahead, Ari.
Yeah, I was disappointed Polanco didn't get the stoppage. I felt like Maidana was ready to give up after the seventh round. You know, his body language and the way the corner was talking to him, I felt like he wanted to give up. I think Polanco should have made him quit. But he looked good. Somebody just told me that his right hand was hurt, whatever. So I don't know, but his jab was on point. He went to the body pretty good when he went to the body. And then he also said after the fight, he said he's thinking about going back down to 140. If he could make 140 healthy, then I think he'll cook them dudes down there. But you know, I like him. I like him at 47.
Ooh, I don't like that as a sign for his confidence. I do not like that for a sign.
Listen. He's not going back to 140. I heard that back in February. He's done with 140. He's going to be at 147.
Yeah, I don't think he makes 140. I don't think he makes 140. But he did say it in front of the camera, so I don't think he makes 140.
So you brought up the Rohan, his hands being hurt. So you're more accepting of that. Are you more accepting now that Shiraz's hand was hurt in the Domus fight?
Ezra.
No. Let me respond.
Please.
Shiraz got cooked.
Great job, Ezra. Great job posting the show. You always got to stick to your little stupid pet points. You got to sidetrack the show. But anyway, put on your graduation cap. Put on your Ezra report card. What are we giving this card tonight?
Oh, it's A+++. It's like in the Christmas story where he's imagining what the teacher's going to grade him. That's what it was. A++. Fantastic stuff. Like I said, it was the perfect fight to end this weird weekend of boxing. Because this was a weird weekend of boxing. This was a disappointing weekend of boxing. It was a strange weekend of boxing. It felt unreal. This made what I saw the other 2 days like, is that something else? Is that influencer boxing? What was it I just saw the last 2 nights? And why was it so different than this had?
This was great. This delivered, and it needed to be compared to the other two things. And if I hope that fans of boxing stood the all three nights and watched this, I hope they didn't leave after the first two. I hope they stood the all three nights.
I think what you saw the last two nights was a lot of glitz and glamour and bells and whistles, but no nuts and bolts, no base, no basics. You got to stick to the basics when it comes to boxing. You're not reinventing the wheel here. I'm not sure why they're trying to reinvent the wheel. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that after that horrible weekend of boxing that Ring put on, that Donald Trump announced the reopening of Alcatraz. He's like, you're not doing no event here. Like, I need a boxing in a regular arena. You're not doing no gimmick events. Alcatraz is reopening. It's going to be prisoners here. Real quick. I'm sorry.
Send Mark Kriegel.
Pablo, what's going on, Pablo? You're on Brunch Boxing.
Hey, guys. Good night. Great boxing night. I would agree. I just had somebody new. My parlay is holding on Patrick O'Connor. Does anyone know if he actually fought tonight? And the other thing I wanted to say.
Patrick O'Connor was in the swing bout. I don't know if they needed the swing bout yet. He's probably fighting right now as we speak. But get to real quick, because we got somebody coming in who's actually boots on the ground right now to give us a live report. So
okay, I'll let him come in. Thank you, appreciate it.
So joining us right now, official historian of Brunch Boxing, father of Daniel Consigliere. My guy, J Rose, you are there. You were there live. You got to see your guy, Nayo at NUA, live and in person. Arena was rocking. Just tell us about the atmosphere and what were your thoughts about the fight and the fight night, J-Ro?
Yeah. The atmosphere was great. Sorry, it's a little loud with the background. But the atmosphere was great. It was Cardenas, you know, Mexicans showed up for Cardenas. There was a loud Mexico chant that would be now with the loud Inouye chants. It was a fun night. The knockdown, let me tell you something. It took me 3 rounds to recover from that knockdown in the second round. I wasn't fully back until the fifth round. I felt like my spirit just left my body, you know what I mean? And I was just there. It was a great night. The atmosphere was great. I hope he comes back. It seemed like it was a packed house. I don't want to say packed because I think it fits 20,000. It wasn't 20,000, but maybe in like 10 to 12,000. I think it was there in the arena. It was just fun. It was fun. And the weekend, I know people complain about the weekend of boxing, but tonight delivered. Delivered.
Absolutely. Now, what did you think of the stoppage? Because watching it on TV, I kind of felt like the stoppage was kind of early. What were your thoughts in the arena stoppage?
Yeah, so my thoughts were, yeah, it was early too. But funny thing about that referee that stopped it, right? On the Espinosa fight with Vasquez, that referee was sitting next to me. And he was talking to somebody else. And he was saying, like, round three, it was a round where Espinosa had Vasquez in the ropes. He was like, man, that should be stopped. And he was like really nervous, like, yo, that should be stopped right now. That should be stopped. And Vasquez was fighting back a little bit. They fought another 3 rounds. But when I heard that, I'm like, oh, he's going to try to get a quick stoppage. He looked like he got a quick trigger finger. So I kind of was expecting something like this, actually.
Oh, from Thomas Taylor.
He's bad with early stoppages.
With stoppages, yeah, because even with watching it there, as far as like what the corner was saying, like you want it to be definitive, especially given that Cardenas did score a knockdown against Inouye and was able to catch Inouye a couple times there with the counter. So
yeah, and I gotta say, probably one of the chief reasons why I didn't love the stoppage is how do we know Cardenas wasn't just having the night of his life? Maybe this was just his one-shot moment.
Yeah.
This was just his night.
Yeah.
And you could never get that back. That is the same way I feel about the bad stoppages, the bad scorecards, like mistakes that happened, like not due to the fighter. You just never know when all the stars aligned for a fighter for a perfect night. And maybe that was tonight for Cardenas, and he'll never get to that level again. So I was really hoping that this referee would let him go out on his shield if he so choose to.
Yeah, because, I mean, even those times when Inoue, like, had Cardenas at the ropes, you could see Cardenas still trying to, you know, throw that hook. And if he, like, catches Inoue with that hook and sends Inoue back or sends him to the canvas again, then you would have another oh shit moment. You know what I mean?
The crowd was oohing and aahing because you could just see the force that he was throwing into the hook and the right cross every time he would throw it. Like, his whole body was turned into both of them.
I'll tell you who else had a good night was Tim Bradley. Breaking down of some of the openings for Inoue, and
they really gave him credit there after the fights were over too. When Mark Chinook was in them, yeah, they were really giving him credit for that. Almost like having him look like Teddy Atlas or something. I don't know, man. But yeah, I mean, he's seen it.
Jared, what did you think of Inoue's performance? Like, what did you see?
Oh man, first of all, the knockdown punch, that was kind of like the Nery shot. Yep. Where it was just silly. Like, he was so aggressive for no reason and didn't care about defense and just got caught with a silly shot. And I didn't understand that. Cardenas, he was trying to throw hard shots. Like, every shot was like trying to knock him out. But it was a cool performance. It was fun. It was entertaining. He made it entertaining.
Do you see any, like, diminishing or anything like that?
I did tell Daniel that it didn't seem like the speed was as quick as I remembered when I saw him on Superfly. But I don't know.
Now, my thing with anyway, do you think, like, he has... like, a little bit of deficiencies in switching, like, offense to defense? Because, you know, the thing there with that knockdown and a couple of times that he got, you know, caught is more of him, you know, not keeping his hand on the phone, as I say, or at least trying to, you know, switch back from offense to defense. So what do you think about that?
Maybe. But I feel like when he wants to be defensive, he can. Like, he will, like, throw his jab. He will really work off the jab. But
I think it's a mentality thing more than anything. I think sometimes he'll get reckless, kind of chasing a stoppage.
He does get reckless. But let me tell you something right now. You're not going to be able to do that, like, in Junto. You're not going to be able to do that at 126. He just not.
Well, he would be more. I would imagine he would be way more likely to be on his P's and Q's defensively against Johto because he knows specifically the level of danger that he brings. I think against Cardenas, it was really a very specific issue of him really not thinking a whole hell of a lot of Cardenas in terms of his, like, danger level. So he was willing to kind of just throw shit out the window to try to stop him and get rid of him. You know, and that ultimately cost him, and he was caught by surprise.
Yeah, I mean, like, in the Fulton fight, he's very, very on his P's and Q's of the Fulton fight. He wasn't giving Fulton anything until he felt like, okay, I can apply it on him. So, yeah,
well, I mean, honestly, look at the difference between the two Donair fights. The first Donair fight, he showed no Donair zero respect and tried to bomb him out, and then that's when he got caught. In the second fight, he set everything up with just pure precision. Donair didn't touch him, and he knocked him out easily.
Yeah, but once he made the adjustment though versus Cardenas, I mean he got caught with that shot in the second round, but then he made the adjustment and he saw everything coming. After
I thought
that.
He got caught a few times. Honestly,
he got caught a couple of times though.
No, but the second and third round, but after that, I was saying, he went back to the jab, keeping a little bit of distance from him.
He wasn't caught as reckless. Yeah, he wasn't caught as reckless or as clean. It was just a matter of, okay, you're in the line of fire, so, I mean, you're probably going to get hit with something regardless.
Yeah, I just felt that after he got knocked down, he made the adjustment, and I didn't see him get caught with any of those shots again. Like, he, you know.
I think Inoue against Fulton was Inoue at his absolute peak. I think that was Inoue at his absolute best. And maybe that's, you know, because of the level of opponent, because where he was physically, like, I think that was 100, that was, like, the absolute best version of him. I haven't seen that version since, you know, he's won, he's dominated, he's stopping everybody, but I thought the combination of offense and defense, like, that was him. And that was like the best fighter in boxing that night. You know, he's a lot of fun. He's so talented offensively. But that, you know, that defensive part of the equation is a part of it, you know? And, to me, you know, I thought the Topalis fight was a little ragged. Even the Doheny fight was a little ragged, you know, at times. You know, I don't know if that's whatever that was. I just know that I think I haven't seen him be at that Fulton level since the Fulton fight.
So now that begs the question, perfect segue, is Naoya Inoue still the best fighter in the world? Let's go through the official Brunch Boxing top 10 pound for pound list. I told you guys we were going to get an update after this weekend, and we got an update. So here we go. Coming in at number 10, we have that kid from Japan, Junto Nakatani. Coming in at number 9, we have Jesse Bam Rodriguez. Coming in at number 8, we got Jerome Boots Ennis. Coming in at 7, we have King Arthur Beterbiev. Coming in at 6, moving up on the pound for pound list, we have Javante Tank Davis. Coming in at number 5, also moving up on the pound for pound list, we got David Benavidez. Coming in at number 4, we have Dimitri Bivol. Coming in at number 3, moving down on the pound for pound list, Naoya Inoue. Coming in at number 2, we have Terrence Crawford. And coming in at number 1 on the Brunch Boxing pound for pound list, we have Oleksandr Usyk dropping out of the top 10. I'm sorry to say, Canelo, goodbye. You're gone, Canelo.
Did Tank move up because of Rolly's performance?
Tank moved up because Canelo dropped out of the top 10. That's okay. Why.
Okay.
Canelo's gone. I'm sorry. I've seen enough.
You said pack him up.
Is washed.
You said pack him up.
I think he's washed. I think
You're only about 3 months behind me because I kicked him out 3 months out of my top 10.
Hey, listen. Hey, maybe you should be hashtag Mr. One Take. You know, but
Canelo Alvarez in a pound for pound list in 2025. Outstanding. Girl, you knock me up.
Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, J-Ro.
Is Inoue suffering from too much activity?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Because, you know, as you get older, you kind of need those rest periods. You know, he might be. Because if you think about it, Inoue is on a prospect schedule. Like, he's really fighting a prospect schedule. He's fighting like 4 times a year, basically. Which he probably shouldn't be doing at this advanced age.
He's almost like a Bill Mason.
But also, too, like, you know, of course he's going to decline a little bit, right? He's getting older, right? He's going to decline. So you would think he relies, like, his speed and athleticism and all that and the style he fights, you really could tell when it happens, right? Like, a little slight thing could really throw off, like, shit, I would duck that usually, or I would see that coming usually, right? Like, or I beat that guy to the shot.
The other thing, too, is we have a sample size to where he's fighting bigger guys' paws than he ever has really before. So, I mean, at the end of the day, these guys are going to be able to take his punches better than opponents of yesteryear. Yeah, and so if you have some of those declines coinciding with that, it's just that every fight is going to get tougher fight over fight.
I think that he has to, and I've said this before, I think he has to kind of adjust to a more defensive style. If he's especially going up in weight, I think.
He does.
I think he has to be more defensive. He's got to – I just don't think the power is the one shot. At this weight anymore. I think it's taking a little bit more time on it. And I just think trading like this, I don't know. Let me tell you, he was hurt bad today. It wasn't just like, okay, the Nuri one, you got like he was rocked. He was rocked. I was a little bit like, oh, damn, he might get caught again and this might be over.
He needs to become Buddy Mayweather. Are you seeing the bail save them or what, Ezra?
No. He was just rocked, though. And I just thought that if I thought that shot could land again and he could not get up. Like, it was a chance. I didn't ever really lose that feeling, I got to be honest to you. Until the round before it ended, I always thought, like, he could get caught in this fight and this could be over.
Oh, yeah. Like round 3.
Ramon's been extremely active, too. This is Ramon's second fight in less than 3 months. So he's been extremely active. And, you know, sometimes guys are fresh getting in there against a guy that isn't quite as fresh. So that could also be a factor in this too. Any final thoughts before we wrap the show up? Ezra, I'll start with you. Give us your final thoughts.
I just love tonight. I think that everything Inoue does is bigger because of tonight. Honestly, I think that everyone's going to think that I need to watch Inoue because maybe he's more beatable now. And I think that going forward, the Junto fight is bigger because of tonight. I think Inoue did do a big number on a Sunday night in Las Vegas. I think he is a star here. I think he could generate big fights here. If you think of the weight class and him being from Japan, doing numbers like that here is insane. So I just think it was a great night for him, great night for boxing.
J-Ro, I'll give you the final word, J-Ro.
I'm sorry. I didn't know I was on mute. But yeah, he is a star. If this gate is what I heard it is, he is a star. He's going to be here next year again. Maybe against Espinosa, but he has to win out first for the Espinosa fight. But if him and Espinosa fight, you guys going to see him back in Las Vegas in September of next year.
Yeah, I just think tonight was a great night for boxing. Like I said, tonight was one of those nights where you remember why you first fell in love with the sport. Shout out to Ramon Cardenas and Naoya Inoue for delivering the fireworks. You know, they brought the noise and they brought the boys, man. So shout out to them, man. Appreciate all you guys for joining us. Got to give a shout out to my guy AA Saturday Night Boxing. Make sure you guys go to the website, SaturdayNightBoxing.com. Has a lot of great articles up there. Go check out his pinned article on Albert Bell and Jordan White. Really good article that he wrote there. So you guys go support Saturday Night Boxing. Got to give a shout out to my guy, Cliff Rold. His Substack, Corner Stool. Make sure you guys go subscribe to the Corner Stool Substack. You know, just go look for substack.com/cornerstool and you will find all the Cliff's great work there. Got to give a shout out to The Boxing Source, my guy, JBZ, JR. Make sure you guys go to The Boxing Source website, also The Boxing Source on YouTube and The Boxing
Source. The longest running boxing podcast in existence. It will be 10 years tomorrow.
It's a celebration. It's a celebration. All right, so make sure you guys go check that out. We do got some cool stuff coming up for you guys this week. We got my guy Trill. He's going to be down at OTX in Texas, Red Owl, covering that card over there. So look out for some stuff from Trill. Make sure you go follow Trill's account. If you want some updates from that great card that they got some bangers on there, including Breon Graham on there. He's going to be... He is one to watch. So make sure you guys check out what Trill got coming for you guys. My guy, Bandalorian, he's going to be covering the MVP Prospects card also on Friday the 9th. And he's also going to be covering the Pro Box card that is headlined by Erickson Lubin versus Audreo Holmes Jr. So make sure you look out for that. We got a lot of great content coming up for you guys. So please go follow these guys. Go follow Brunch Boxing, subscribe to the Brunch Boxing website, all that good stuff. You know, support the Brunch Boxing platform. But this has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. He is our COO, the Mexican Al Heyman Mike. He is our host, Ezra Boxing. I am Matt. We are Brunch Boxing, and we are out. Shout out to Huey, the producer.